So excited for this opportunity.
Thank you. I love my conversations with God. And today, I thought, because I didn't have all night I could talk about it, that I'm going to tell you about three of the times that God spoke the loudest to me. So I'm calling it the loud moments of God. So you'll have the beginning one, my first one, and then kind of a midlife one, and really where I am to now. I love talking about the amazing things that the Lord has done in my life, but as most of you know, that kind of like King David, I would much prefer being up here dancing with all my might, not talking or reading. So the first time, when I'm calling the first loudest time God spoke to me, and that's what I'm going to tell you, and then why I chose dance as an occupation in that first loud moment. So here's a little history. I'm the youngest of four children. My oldest brother had Down syndrome, and he's actually has passed away since. And I had two parents who did not get along. I laugh now because I always think if Jerry Springer had been around in those days, he could have parked in our driveway and gotten a lot of material from our household. So as you can imagine, there was always commotion, and I remember this like it was yesterday. There was this one particular morning, and it was in September, and I was five, and there was this stillness in my house. And if I could go in my bedroom, if I stood on the edge of my bed, I could lean against a window sill and I could look out the window. And I chose that stillness time to go do that. And it was one of those mornings where you can see the sun and you can see the moon. And you know, to this day, I still wonder, what are they doing in China? What do they get to see if I get to see both? And it was quiet, and God spoke to me so loud. And okay, now I was five, so I thought, I really did think, is that Santa Claus? Because I'm thinking it's September. Of course, back in my day, you didn't do Christmas till after Thanksgiving. We didn't do it in June like we do now. And so I waited, and he spoke again, and he told me, I have a purpose for you. Well, it was soon thereafter that I took my first ballet class, and I had my first performance, and it became so clear to me, my dance was not about me. My dancing was to be a vehicle to communicate God's peace. It's to let people know. It's about y'all. It's about my audience. It wasn't about what I was doing up there on stage. It was to go, come in. Let the world just spin by itself. Enjoy this moment. Just let go for a while. Just relax. Enjoy. You know, in chorus line, the song, everything's beautiful at the ballet. That was what I felt. It was my time to get away from my family, but it wasn't about me. It was my that whole peace, that whole calming. I'm excited my niece Kaylin's here because she has the same passion for dance that I do. She came down from Chattanooga, so thank you. I have some other dance friends in here. Yep, so I'm happily, you know, we all have adversities and things, but I'm happily dancing my way through life. And then about 20, 25 years ago, it was right here in this 5:30 service. Of course, it wasn't right here. It was right over there. And Father, and I got that second God used his loud voice on me. And Father Harry was preaching, which we all know Father Harry could sound like God or Santa Claus too. He had a way of doing that. But I have this thing about being in the service. When the service is done, I have this feeling that I should clean my pew. I pick up the programs, I straighten out the book. Well, you know, in the chapel, it's a little harder because, you know, by 5:30 service, all the chairs are moved. So I'm getting my chairs, I'm lining them up, putting them in, and kind of leaning over. And in this split second, Father Harry taps me on the shoulder. And there it was, that loud voice of God that I heard when I was five. And he says, and I leaned up and looked, and he said, I need to ask you something. And I said, my answer is yes. He goes, well, you don't know what I'm going to ask you. I said, God just told me to tell you yes. And he's like, well, do you want to know what the question is? I'm like, yes. So he goes, "Well, I want you to become a Stephen minister." And I said, I'm supposed to tell you yes. And he said, "Well, do you know what a Stephen minister is?" And I said, "No." He's like, "Okay." So probably a lot of you don't know what a Stephen minister is. Well, we are trained to be one-on-one Christian caregivers who minister to people who are walking through that valley, whether it's a valley of grief or sorrow, any kind of diversity. We walk side by side with you and provide prayer and God's support. And you know, I love, most of you who I know I love the Bible, and I love taking things out of context and kind of doing it. So I thought, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I thought, what better thing to do than go to the Bible? And I open my Bible, and it opens to the first miracle of Jesus, the story of where he's at the wedding of Cana. And I'm thinking, okay, what does the wedding have to do with this? And what I did was I read it carefully, and I want you, the second part of that story is Jesus calls his servants to fetch the heavy, empty jugs of water, bring them to him, and he changes it to wine. And that's what it was. I was called to be a servant, to find people who were empty, who were heavy, refreshing. It's like in Matthew when Jesus says, "Bring unto me those who are heavy laden," and it clicked. We are to bring people, the empty people, the people who are going through things. We don't have to change them. That's not our job. That wasn't my job. It was to give them water, to bring them to Jesus, because he'll do the miracle. He will work it in them. I'm going to share one quick holy Stephen ministry story with you. Now, Stephen ministry is extremely confidential, but I know this person wouldn't mind that I'm sharing this story with you. So I had a care receiver, and that's what we call the people we're matched up with. And she had cancer, and it was an unusual type of cancer, and it was one that at Duke they could take care of and were more experienced in it. So she moved to Duke. And God always has this, when he calls me, it's usually in the wee hours of the morning. So it was 3:25 in the morning, and I wake up, and I had this urge to text her. So I texted her, and the text I got back from her was, "I'm scared, I'm lonely, I just got moved to ICU, and I thought, you know, I text her back, so we texted a little bit, and I said, "Well, let's quietly, you know, we're texting, say the 23rd Psalm." You know, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and you know, and then of course it's on the text, so you know, the emojis of the prayer. I said, "Together, let's quietly say that," and the emojis. Well, I didn't hear back from her, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I hope I didn't like, you know, say something or do the wrong prayer, but it wasn't the prayer I wanted to. It was the prayer God told me to say. And the next morning around 10, my cell phone lights up and it's her name. I'm like, "Oh, thank you." Well, it was her sister. And her sister said, "I just picked up my sister's phone and the last text on it was that you were doing the 23rd Psalm with her." And I was like, you know, just... And it's not me. It was just, you learn to be that vehicle. We're just vehicles to let God just work through us. We don't have to do the work. He'll do it if we're open to him. So, moving on to number three. Now, I have been so blessed. Well, first of all, there are Stephen ministers here. Y'all raise your hand. Let people know. I know it's a confidential thing. Yeah. And I take my Stephen ministry very serious. I became a leader, have trained people, not just in this parish, but other parishes, and it's just how to learn to open up yourself. Okay, I'll go back to my notes and read them so I'm not jumping all over the place. That third time I encountered hearing the loudness of God. Now, like I had started, I have been so blessed in my life. Now, I've had adversities and crazy stuff, But I have my own Trinity that lives with me on this planet. And it's the three boys in my life. So I guess they're men, sorry about that. So I have my loving husband who just supports me in any crazy endeavor I decide to do. And then my sweet-spirited young George, and who I'm so to be such a proud mom that he and his new wife, Michelle, are such active members in this church. They're shepherds here. They lead their small group. You know, just they're helping with market and just that blessing of having it. Well, and then there's my precious Andrew. Now, he's my oldest. Now, let me tell you, Andrew has always lived his faith with conviction. He's kind of my role model. And he loves to share his testimony how he became a believer in Christ. Now, actually, so much so, on several occasions, he's been asked to be a guest speaker to tell his testimony. Now, one of the places that he's been asked to give this story is in Paris Island, where they train the Marines. And okay, so he's done this a couple of times, just very casual about it. And about the third time, and he told us, I said, I told Doug, I said, we gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta go see this and hear this. Anyway, now you just don't show up at Paris Island and go, hey, I'm here to see my son. You know, you have to go through clearance. You have to do what you have, you know, you have to be at the right place at the right time. You know, we're talking about the Marines. So we go on that Sunday morning. We have to be in the room, in our places early. And it's this huge gymnasium. I mean, it's just huge. And there's just bleachers there, but it's metal, it's a barracks. And they sit us down because we had to be there early. And just sitting there waiting, of course, if your children are doing something, you get nervous. And there's like an elephant door. So if you're performing, you know what an elephant door is. It's the big one so you can bring the sets in. And these five or six Marines carry in this wooden cross. And they set that cross there, and Doug and I are sitting here, and it's quiet. And then all the Marines start coming in, and you just keep hearing them marching in. And I looked, and they're like 3,000 or 5,000. I mean, I embellish everything. There were a lot. And the gospel reading that day, it was funny. It was about how the disciples had their doubts about Jesus. And I started thinking, well, don't the disciples always doubt Jesus? We doubt Jesus. But then he reaffirms us and tells us, yeah, you know, it'll be okay. So they preach, and then Andrew gives his testimonial, and he hands the mic to the chaplain. And the chaplain takes the mic and walks straight towards Doug and I and says, I'd like you all to know that Andrew's parents are here with us today. And she takes the mic and she says to me, Miss Cricket, I would like you to say a few words and close us in prayer. Okay, now I've been in meetings with you all. I know at the end of the meeting or the opening meeting, you all go like this, no eye contact. We're going to open in prayer, and all of a sudden you all go, we're going to close in prayer. And you go, yeah, okay. So can you imagine the deer in the headlight when I saw Andy was like, and Doug was like, I can't imagine what I looked like. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay, what God, and this is why it's so good to know the Bible, because what goes through my head like that is in Ezekiel when God says to the prophet, he says, who's going to raise these bones? And the prophet says, not me, only you can do that. And God says, no. You can do that. That's going through my head. I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can remember taking the mic and patting Doug on the knee and going, okay, if we can shout at a football game, I think I can get up here and cheer for Jesus. God was pushing me. Okay, I set my focus on that cross that was carried in there. And I'm like, it's about 10 steps. And I get up to that cross, and I turn around. I turn around, standing next to that cross, and I see those Marines. They're looking at me. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, these are children. These are 19 to 20 year olds who are giving up their life so I can freely be here to praise our God. And standing in there beside that cross and thinking, Jesus gave his life for me. And they're giving their life for me. There was such a clarity in that moment. Truly the realization of the sacrifices that are made for us. I mean, I know we do, but what I take for granted, I mean, just that impact of what Jesus did and what they are doing. I'm like, am I living up to God's expectation? It was so overwhelming in that moment, and it just clicked to me that how could any of us ever be inhibited to worship and praise Jesus out loud? After that, it was like, I'll never not want to pray out loud or talk about my faith or what God's done. And how those people I was surrounded with then, they're ready to give their life to protect my freedom to do that. These children, our Lord. You know, I'm not really sure what I said that day, because it was the training as a dancer, the training as a Stephen minister. You know, I love the gospel today because it talked about my family, you know, the divorce, the child. And I was like, I was called as a child. And it's like, I was so excited that was the gospel because, and then here are these children. It's like, yes, God's calling these children up here. I don't know what I said that morning because I really let God just do the talking. But I can tell you, it was what he wanted to say, because when I finished, several Marines came up and reaffirmed their faith and gave their life and reaffirmed Jesus and rededicated their life back to him. And so it must have been something, right? But, you know, and I keep thinking about children, and I'm thinking, you know, when we were little, we would play that game of Red Rover, Red Rover. And, you know, you're standing up there in that line, and, you know, I'm thinking that's it. It's not if God calls your name. It's when he calls your name. Listen, hear him, and then go running to him with all your might. And then, you know, if you break through those arms, then think of like when Peter had the chains and he was in prison and God broke him off, then he's not bound anymore. Leave that baggage behind you. Leave the adversity. Leave whatever's inhibiting you behind you, because you've broken through that like Peter did. And if not, you don't break through those arms, then know that God has caught you in his arms. Well, whatever you do, it's not if God is calling you. It's when he's calling you. Hear that call and then run to him with all your might, because I promise you, it will change your life forever. Amen.
You can turn it off.